It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running for this, oh yes it is, Moran Monday, the 28th day of June, 2021. It is the final Moran Monday for June, 2021, and yeah, I don't think we're going to have any trouble playing Spot the Morans, no. Hi, I'm Robin, and if you would like to enhance your listening pleasure during the live portion of the program, you know, the 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, you know, when the program's, well, live, run on over to headon.live and click on chat room, and you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Jeremy in Vermont and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, chooses to use his powers wisely and has not folded space into the heart of the sun or the man cave. And, yeah, it's only around, I guess, 100 degrees there in Northern California right now. Here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, it's every bit of 81 degrees. Yeah, you know what that means. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Naked radio. Of course. Of course. Because it's not too cold and not too hot. It's just right, and you don't even need a light jacket. Right. So, and I'm so glad we're not on video for this. But, yeah. And it's Moran Monday. And every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. Let's give much appreciation to the folks who keep the program on the air, partial sponsors of the program by way of a subscription over at PayPal. So, thanks to Suman, and thanks, working backwards from today, thanks to Suman, and thanks to Randy and PA, and thanks to Charlene and Rogues Island. Thank you to David. Thank you, David. And thank you to Sharon. Thanks as well to our buddy Robert in Australia. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you, one and all. And thanks to Tom in sunny San Rafael for the Professor Tracy challenge that is on the table this evening. I figured with June ending on Wednesday, we'd just put up a fundraising goal for the, you know, to get us to the end of the month, and that's $800. And there's a $100 Professor Tracy challenge on the table, courtesy of Tom in sunny San Rafael. Tom will double the first $100 that comes in, and that'll take care of fundraising for today, because Herbert got us started on Friday during our Community Made Miracle. Thank you. Thank you so much, Herbert. Thank you, Tom. And thanks to Tracy for her challenges on Friday. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island Thanks one and all to all of you who keep this program on the air, because this is the only way this program does remain on the air. And I'll let you know, I had a lovely day Saturday. Some of you may have seen the pictures from Lewisburg Pride. It was their first ever, and I was there for it. We had a magnificent time. Lewisburg isn't that far a drive from here, and so we had the weather. There was no rain. Oh God, it was hot, but it was absolutely delightful. You know, I don't think it's supposed to be like that, Mike. Mike in Cascadia just said, I'm working at an aerospace company just north of Seattle. Check out the local temp now. Seattle, 106 degrees. With an excessive heat warning, courtesy of the National Weather Service. Good God. Well, at least we don't have to worry about, you know, climate change being a thing, right? And so, shame on Chauvins. Joey writes, I'll just say that I was totally disgusted with Derek Chauvin only receiving 22 years. I thought that was a travesty. Is that all a black person's life is worth, 22 years? And I don't know what that was when Chauvin turned to the family of George Floyd and said, there's more information, it'll be coming out soon. Chauvin's arrogance was just incredible, as he never apologized to the family, but just stood there and acted like there would be some evidence that would maybe vindicate him and help the loved ones of George Floyd feel better by understanding that it was necessary to kill him. It was unbelievable, Joey writes. And then Chauvin's mother steps up and completely ignores the family and loved ones of George Floyd and prattles on about what a wonderful human being her son is. And I don't want to hear about a mother's love. Chauvin's mother should have been totally ashamed of her son and at least expressed condolences to the Floyd family. Sorry, I'm not buying this a mother's love bullshit. I really don't think Chauvin's mother has the ability to comprehend the gravity of what her son did. All she would have had to do was apologize to the family of Floyd and state, I did not raise my son to behave like this, while acknowledging what he did was wrong. In some cultures, a mother will go so far as to commit suicide if a child has brought shame to the family name. I can't help but think back to Kim Duk-ko, a South Korean boxer who was killed in the ring by Ray Mancini. Sadly, Kim Duk-ko's mother was so devastated and ashamed that she committed suicide. That is a ritual common in some Asian cultures. The poor woman had nothing to be ashamed of, and Chauvin's mother stands up there and expresses no remorse or shame for what her son did. After watching the way Chauvin's mother acted in the courtroom, expressing no shame for what her son did, I could really understand how Derek Chauvin did what he did. I really believe that neither Chauvin nor his mother really view black people as human beings. The Chauvins are the ultimate morons. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 28th day of June, with Giraffe remembering West Virginia's Robert Byrd, who passed away on this day 11 years ago in 2010. And there's a $10 shame on Chauvin's challenge on the table. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. And Billable Rick asks, did you spot any giraffes at the Pride event on Saturday? If not, was he at the ballpark with Joey? I must have been, because there were no rainbow flag festooned giraffes in the crowd that I saw. It was really well attended too. It was absolutely lovely. And for anybody, you know, you come touristing to West Virginia, Lewisburg is a wonderful, hip and happening little town. I mean, here's the cool part about it. Lewisburg, the people who pulled that thing together did it in less than 30 days. It was amazing. And everything came off without a hitch. And what's more, they had the support of their city government. Yeah. That's a town in West Virginia that wants to move into the future. It's got a long history. And I've got connections to Greenbrier County, where Lewisburg is the county seat. And my connections are the fact that my Kincaid ancestors first settled in what would become West Virginia in Greenbrier County, and then moved slowly across the mountains and, well, to here, and spread out from here onward. You know, at one point in time, my grandmother was in correspondence with a Kincaid who was, I think, a state senator in Oregon. For those in Oregon, if you choose to look him up, please don't tell me if it turns out he was some sort of Republican. Please. Pretty please. Yeah. But they had the complete support of their city government. And, you know, Beckley, Raleigh County, no, they don't. But that city government wanted to be a part of the future and not the shameful, brutal past. So I was really, really impressed with it. And in fact, I didn't get to visit, but I passed the turnoff for the place where my Kincaid ancestors first settled, so I got to go back. It's just it's just a little wide spot in the road, if even that. But it's and it's beautiful country, just beautiful country, Greenbrier Valley. So it was a lovely weekend, sunny, pleasant. Oh, by the way, program note: I should mention the fact that we have had thunderstorms passing through in the last couple of hours. Good bit of, you know, rolling, rumbling thunder. And that means that there's every possibility that the program will be interrupted at some point in time this evening. I hope it isn't. But if you start hearing beep, 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 you know, you'll know that the power's gone out and that we have no electricity, because the uninterruptible power supplies will have kicked in. And they're good for about 5 minutes, just long enough to get everything shut down. So we'll cross our fingers and hope, but we're hoping against alongside an antiquated, coal-fried, rickety, falling apart at the seams power grid. God, they're gonna hang on to coal to the bitter end. I heard a story over the weekend that Appalachian Power, which owns a power plant down in the Kanawha Valley on the banks of the Kanawha River called the John Amos Plant. It's got to have massive renovations in order to not have to be shuttered soon. So they've run off to the Public Service Commission and asked for a rate increase to make the ratepayers pay for the fact that they insist on continuing to burn fucking coal. No, I didn't see any giraffes. Lee in New York says, maybe the giraffes have ninja skills just because you don't see them. Is not proof that they were not there. And another program note, Lee reminds me, and you don't just get 3 hours of the program tonight, you get four. Because at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, I'll be subbing for Malloy today and tomorrow. And, I hope everybody enjoys it. So that's most of the that's most of the program notes and, you know, heads up and things like that. And Steve points out that Pride in New York did not have full city support and observes that's what happens when you exclude the cops. Well, I mean, I got no problem with that. But yeah, thanks, Steve. I got your other note as well. Now, a couple of days ago, I had a note. Let's do this right, shall we? Yes, let's do.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Thank you.
hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed. Just moments ago, you were on the carnival midway throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a vain hope of taking home a not very precious, not terribly cute baby iguana. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But no, now you've found your way here just a few steps off the midway. It costs a little less to set up off the midway as opposed to on it, where we have set up, indeed, the thin cybernetic canvas walls of our imaginary Moran Monday tent. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. We've got them all here. For less than the cost of a half a stick of chewing gum, you can be part of the merry little band that keeps the Moran Monday tent moving from town to town across the fruited plain each and every Monday. And, well, they're all here. Every kind of Moran imaginable. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, maggots, trumpansies, republicans, all, each and every one. The standard disclaimer goes out. As you enter the Moran Monday tent, please be mindful and aware of the location of any particular jewelry, bracelets, rings, the piercing rings, piercing studs, everything but the tattoos on your skin. Because, well, the Morans can get grabby. Keep an eye on children, small animals, even that little baby iguana that you inexplicably won by throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls, because the Morans will grab that too. Purses, watches, wallets, even European-style messenger bags. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans, and you so will. As I said, as I said, we have them, and earlier I received a note from Megan saying, "Can this please be the first story for Moran Monday?" Mm-hmm. And what it was, well, what it was a, it was a tweet. It was a tweet from Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho. Mm-hmm. Who was marking the return, the repatriation of some remains of a serviceman who has been missing in action. And I confess, Megan, I checked. I wanted to make sure that it was a real tweet and hadn't been doctored or anything like that. And, wow, it wasn't. Mike Crapo, now, he did get around to fixing it, but Mike Crapo's eager young social media assistant is probably looking for work at a Rippy Mart now. Maybe. But then again, maybe they're forgiving. Because the tweet by this Moran Republican senator from Idaho, who may very well soon have ammonium nitrate Bundy for his governor, Mike Crapo tweeted, "Today, Navy Fireman Second Class Carl Bradley returned to rest in Shelley. He left Idaho to serve in the Vietnam War. He was killed in action aboard the USS Oklahoma in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, and his remains were found earlier this year. May we remember his eternal sacrifice." Well, to the living descendants of Carl Bradley, a nation offers its profound thanks. But of course, suffice to say, to everybody but the Morans, the USS Oklahoma did not serve in, to the best of my knowledge, the theater of combat in Vietnam, and we were most assuredly not at war with the Vietnamese on December 7th, 1941. In point of fact, we weren't at war with anybody on December 7th, 1941. The Congressional Declaration of War would follow on December the 8th. Or maybe later on December 7th. I'm not quite certain of the timeline there. The Horn Ad Hoc Research Department can get on that if they want to. How do you... No, really. I know the obvious answer is because Moran. Because Republican. But how do you elide the Vietnam War with the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941? Just how? But then again, it's inexplicable to me because I grew up hearing about that war from someone who actually participated in it. World War II, that is. And when I read Navy Fireman Second Class, well, my dad stood many a fire watch in the belly of his aircraft carrier. And, you know, I wish we had had a diagnosis for something like, you know, PTSD. Because everybody came home from the Second World War and it was, you know, all just, you know, hey, you won, yay, yay you, you know, be happy. But considering the number of people who were involved in that war, the amount of trauma that was endured, even for the survivors, was breathtaking. And only, you know, only looking backward, do we see how bad it probably was. Because there were horrors. War is horror. And so, in a way, what Mike Crapo did on Twitter, and again, they did fix it. If you go and find the original tweet, you'll see that it has been they took out the "he left Idaho to serve in the Vietnam War" part, the obviously wrong part. But as someone below noted, the internet is forever, and so the original tweet was quickly discovered, and it's disrespectful is what it is. You know, how much sincerity really was there in Mike Crapo's tweet if he can't even bother to make sure his eager young social media aide doesn't conflate the Vietnam conflict with the Second World War, which 41, 61 was 20 years before and more like 25, 26, 27 years before the real bloodbath got started for American service personnel in Vietnam. And, of course, you know, along the way, we killed in excess of a million Vietnamese civilians, probably far in excess. But, Megan, yes, you Mike Crapo gets, a sort of perverse pride of place as our first Moran Monday nominee. Oh, Jesus. May we remember his eternal sacrifice. And it looks like Mike Crapo didn't remember it very well. Oops. And I continue to hold to my original theory that the Supreme Court is setting us up for a real, real screwing. I mean, why? Why do this? Why save the I mean, it's almost like they think they're a reality television show. You know, where they've got to have a big send-off. What did Twain call a snapper? And so we're all waiting for this big case to be announced, and we're going to have to wait to the end of the season, or in the case of the Supreme Court, the term. But along the way, a little bit of decent news. Because the Supreme Court of the United States refused to accept the appeal of the school board that lost twice at the appellate court level, the circuit court level, in their stupid and misguided attempt to concern themselves with where people go potty. I mean, I describe it that way, not you know, which restrooms do... No, with how people and where people go potty, because it is that goddamn juvenile. But our system, had, you know, you got to go all the... And, but today, in the case brought not once but twice by a young man named Gavin Grimm, the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to hear it. We have, no. And so the ACLU proudly announced the result, saying this is the third time in recent years that SCOTUS has allowed appeals court decisions in support of trans students to remain. And, it, you know, it's always a surprise when the Supreme Court follows its own damn rules. But they had they'd already issued a ruling last year saying that anti-trans discrimination is not okay, you know, unless you've got a deeply held religious belief for it, apparently. It would have been not, I don't know, if they with this court, I'm glad they didn't take the case. So that means there must have been Roberts and one more on the maggot side of the equation who said, nope, not gonna. And good. Good. And what it means is they weren't going to waste the court's time simply reaffirming a case that they had already announced in a year past. So Gavin Grimm of, I believe, Virginia, long gone from that hate-filled high school, but the policy wasn't, gets his victory. And I'm just as proud as I can be for him and for every trans child that this is going to affect. Because this, the problem with not taking the case and then deciding it straight up, if there is a problem, means that, well, it means that other states can conceivably continue to do this shit that aren't inside the circuit, the circuit court, the appeals court circuit that Virginia is in. And I think that would be the fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. We're with them, as is Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, and I think North Carolina. And so it's a surprise, but it's a nice surprise. I was in a place yesterday because I live in a pretty cool, in the middle of a blood red state, I live in a pretty cool place. And the restroom sign simply, I think it shows a unicorn and says, just wash your damn hands. Which is really all the requirements there should be for, you know, a public restroom. And so, yeah, it was Virginia. And so Virginia, or a young trans man from Virginia, has in fact struck a blow for, well, I'll be darned, freedom. And thank you to the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, in this case, Lee in New York. Yes, the declaration of war was 12/8/1941. So we weren't at war with anybody on December 7th. And as to the, dear Robin, Steve says, you're forgetting something. Those million-plus people killed in Vietnam were darker-skinned people who spoke a funny language and didn't speak Jesus' language, you know, King James English. Yeah, I know. Um, This is some major league grade Moranity, Stephen New York notes, in regard to Gavin Grimm's case. Headline, Supreme Court gives victory to transgender student who sued to use bathroom. I guess at its very most elemental level, that's what it was. On the other hand, it's more like Supreme Court gives victory to transgender student who sued to be treated fairly and equally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Lee points out, as to the Supreme Court being like a reality TV show, with a third of the justice appointed by The Apprentice, who never learned how to be a CEO, are you surprised? Well, when you put it like that, no. No, not at all. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, query. While watching a rebroadcast of Zerlina Maxwell's show, she had a commentator on who said that Robert C. Byrd was Joe Manchin's mentor. I didn't have that information at hand, so I turned to you for your knowledge of all things Manchin. Off that subject, I binged Bosch this weekend. If you had a chance to watch it, I will not give any spoilers. Thank you, Ron. When you've watched it, let me know your opinion. That's probably tonight. That's tonight's post-program viewing. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Manchin constantly goes about grunting about how Robert Byrd was his mentor. But by God, if that was the case, he sure wasn't paying attention. And he definitely didn't pay attention when Robert Byrd said that his attempt to use the filibuster in 1964 to stop the Civil Rights Act was the greatest mistake he made in his long political career. Now, as Joey noted in his journal, it was on this day in 2010 that Robert Byrd, nonagenarian that he was, passed away and went to his long home. And so that would put his relationship with Joe Manchin mostly in his 80s, maybe his late 70s. You know, I think we're all witnessing in real time, and most people don't even know about it. Especially most people outside of West Virginia. But Joe, what we're watching in real time is Joe Manchin's ongoing hissy over the fact that he got bumped by a girl when he ran for governor as the Democratic nominee in 1996. A woman named Charlotte Pritt handed him his ass. And he then moved heaven and earth to make sure that she did not win the governorship. Engaged in dirty tricks, worked with a group of Democrats for Underwood to make sure that an old alcoholic by the name of Cecil Underwood would become the become the governor of West Virginia for 4 years and then be bounced out in 2000. Because Joe couldn't run the risk of having a popular female governor for two terms, because it would have thrown his ambitions to completely control the Democratic Party of West Virginia into chaos. So, because he got whipped by a girl, we've all been paying the price for the last 25 years, the last quarter century. Darlene and I are in complete agreement. Darlene in Connecticut writing, "Oh, the SCOTUS is setting us up for the decimation of Roe by June 30th or June 31st, if you're Marjorie Trader Gangrene cue ball. And then they skip town July 1 and leave us drowning in the devastating aftermath. How much you want to bet?" I won't take the bet, Darlene. No way. Because I don't bet against sure things. And there's just been, there have been too many reasonably decided cases to make me not think that there's been some horse trading going on. All right, we'll give you the trans kid going potty. We'll give you that one, okay? But you gotta let us fuck a woman's right to choose. You just got to, because Jesus wants us to. Is that, does that not make sense? I mean, I've never wanted to be so wrong about something in my life. But it just feels like the other shoe is about to drop. And they'll drop it on June the 30th or June the 31st. And it's just, yeah, why? Are they trying to help the news cycle? I mean, that'll be Wednesday, June the 30th. So, you know, hold on to your hats, as it were. Because things could get really ugly really quickly. No kidding. Steve in New York says, with regard to Gavin Graham, please understand, I understand the bigger picture with him. However, it all flowed from people caring about where he went potty. I'm sorry, but I cannot get my head around caring this much about where a young man goes to the bathroom. The fact is this, had nobody cared where he went to the bathroom, it would not have had to morph into a bigger issue. I'm sorry to say this again, but I just can't get my head around how anyone could care this much about how him going to the bathroom. Well, Steve, and I'm certainly not criticizing, but maybe you're failing to take into account the depth and breadth of the hatred that evangelical so-called Christians have for trans people. Not just trans kids, all of us. And it's almost difficult to accept. You know, you have to put like some sort of emphasis on the words. I mean, you've got to use some sort of vocal intonation. The hatred, the disgust, the bowel-watering fear, the revulsion. That these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians feel for people who simply want to live their authentic lives. And so there is no part of society that this does not touch. The European Union upbraided Viktor Orban of Hungary, suggesting maybe it would be a good idea for Hungary to get out of the EU because, you know, they can't abide by the EU's basic human rights protections. Hungary has passed a law that makes it illegal to show or mention homosexuality or LGBTQ anything to children under the age of 18, and they say that they're somehow trying to prevent child sexual abuse or pedophilia. But there's no connection. There's no nexus. And it is just because a guy, Viktor Orban, who was elected president of Hungary on a pro-democracy platform, is reading the tea leaves and is cognizant of the depth of that revulsion and hatred, and is pandering to the people who, well, he needs to keep him in office. Poland is on the verge of all but absolutely criminalizing transness, gayness, lesbianism, bisexual, anything that isn't the lights-off missionary position between one man and one woman who are married in the eyes of Holy Mother Church. And it astonishes me. No, it doesn't astonish me. I guess I can't get my head around it either, but because I live it, I know it's there. And all we can do is be present and be visible and refuse to go away and cherish every ally that we have. You're wrong, Stephen New York says. Uh-oh. This isn't about Roe Casey. Roe and Casey will technically stand as precedent. However, they will narrow them so much as to make them meaningless insofar as it concerns women's rights. The reason is because the right-wing turds need the issue to raise money off of. Well, amen to that. Hell, it's not just raising money. It's the only thing that brings some of the cockroach Christians out from behind the baseboards to go and vote. I mean, you'll notice that as a trend over time. The only way that the Republican Party can get people out to vote is by scaring them with utter, unconstrained, unmitigated bullshit. Critical race theory. Common core. Obama's FEMA re-education camps. Trans potty bills. Drag queen story hour. Oh, for fuck's sake. And it's, you know, the pre, and of course, the queen of it all is the precious little fetus. Because it's what motivates people who are profoundly ignorant, to use the term as Tracy pronounces it when she means to point out the ignancy of the ignorant. And by the way, I got something in the mail, a lovely gift from Tracy. She told me it was coming and to watch out for it. And it's just so cute. It is an official Disney Mickey Mouse head outline, you know, the ears, the round. But instead of Mickey's face there, it's the colors of the Trans Pride flag. I wish it had been here Saturday. I would have worn it joyfully in Lewisburg. But doesn't have to be Pride Month. I can still wear it. And I'm looking forward to it. So thank you, Tracy. That was just lovely. Ron and Raleigh says, sounds like, remember the case a few weeks back about the Trump supporter that was crapping on his neighbor's lawn? It seems like SCOTUS is about to crap on the country's lawn and then disappear. Yeah, I remember that case. Jesus. Maybe it's not a matter of trying to manipulate media or manipulate attention on the court. The court's not supposed to crave attention. Maybe you announce the really shitty decisions at the end of the term precisely because you can then take it on the lam and get out of town. Whereas, you know, if they announced it early on, then the court would have been swamped beneath a deluge of protesters, both left and right. And, well, they don't like to be reminded of who they're fucking. So that actually makes a boatload of sense, Ron. It does. Perspective, says Matt in San Francisco. Yesterday, my husband and I went for a drive to Sacramento. He likes to visit a nursery up there, and I have a thing for mid-century modern stuff. There's a great store for that up there as well. It's a little over an hour drive. To kill time, he took out his phone and utilized an app that prepares people for their U.S. citizen test. Basically, a bunch of civics and history questions. My husband speaks 5 languages and is a registered nurse, but he does not share my obsession with civics and politics. However, it was a great way to pass the time. One of the questions was, what rights do citizens have? He said, medical care and free speech. I said, actually, babe, medical care is not a right in America. So he clicks to see what some of the answers were. He says, the right to bear arms? So you have a right to have a gun but not see a doctor? No wonder this country's so fucked up. Sometimes the way someone says something just hits you right between the eyes, and yesterday was one of those times for me. I can see where that would be the case. You have a right to carry a gun, but you don't have a right to be treated when somebody else carrying a gun shoots you with the gun they're carrying. Well now, isn't that just perfect? Oh, you're right. Frank reminds me, in amongst the Common Core and the critical race theory and the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa and the Obama re-education camps and, well, Don't forget Sharia law. Thank you, Frank. Thank you. Sharia law! The Muslims is coming to get your Bible! Oh, God, the stupidity, the Moranity. But, you know, it fits nicely with Moran Monday. There's socks outside the door. If the Supreme Court gets lots of protesters between now and the end of their term, will that make a difference? I'm guessing not. Says Ralphs. No, it won't make it. The decision, that's the thing. It's not like they're putting the finishing touches on the decision. The decisions are ready. They just parse them out and release them a little bit at a time. And that's why I think there is a certain amount of manipulation going on. Because, you know, remember, what was it, 2012? When the first Obamacare decision came down, and they waited till we were on our way home from Alabama. We were in Florence, getting ready to come home the last leg of the trip, and it was on in the lobby of the crummy little motel we were in. I can't see spending a lot of money on motel rooms. Because, you know, apart from things like bed bugs and whatnot, it's just a room you're going to be in for 10 hours and probably out running around the rest of it in any given day. So, you know. But anyway, it was on in the little lobby kitchenette dining area. And I remember, oh, son of a gun. Thinking, and it's where I first came up with the idea that John Roberts is an evil genius, because he struck down the only part of the Affordable Care Act that actually contained universal coverage, namely the Medicaid expansion. And God, the toll that has taken on this country. Speaking of morons, statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America, on radical left New York political prosecutors. We usually don't get the on part in United States of America, period.
Radical left New York City and state prosecutors who have let murderers, rapists, drug dealers, and all other forms of crime skyrocket to record levels, and who have just announced that they will be releasing hundreds of people involved in violent crime back onto the streets without retribution of any kind.
Retribution? Really?
Are rude, nasty, and totally biased in the way they're treating lawyers, representatives, and some of the wonderful long-term employees and people with the Trump Organization. After hundreds of subpoenas and over 3 million pages of documents, 4 years of searching, dozens and dozens of interviews, and millions of dollars of taxpayer funds wasted, they continue to be in search of a crime and will do anything to frighten people into making up the stories or lies that they want but have been totally unable to get. Totally. In an unprecedented move, they retained an outside never-Trumper lawyer from a Trump-hating law firm to work on the case. It is a continuation of the greatest witch hunt of all time. Oh, he's very upset today. Now they're issuing ultimatums.
Ultimata, I think, but who's counting?
Working in close conjunction with the Washington, D.C. hacks who've been investigating me from the day I came down the escalator in Trump Tower, but who have failed. In fact, the guilty parties were these prosecutors, partners in crime, the radical left Democrats and friends.
One of these days, I hope to meet one of these radical left Democrats. Because I think they're about as easy to find as unicorns and leprechauns. Because I don't know any of them. I don't think I've ever met one.
Oh, AOC, Ilhan Omar.
No! They're not talking about redistribution of wealth. They're not talking about nationalizing private industry. The most radical lefty in the United States is, by comparison to the rest of the greater world, a fucking centrist.
They will do anything to stop the MAGA movement and me. even if it involves prosecutorial misconduct and harassment of a political opponent, which they're using at levels rarely seen before.
Rarely seen before. I'm thinking Nitwit Nero has never heard of the names Schenck, Frowerk, or, most notably, Debs. I mean, they had the full ferocious force of the United States government turned on them for nothing more than opposing a war that they probably were right in opposing, namely the First World War.
Yeah. They leak, they lie, and they campaign based on information that has already been gone through in other of the many investigations I've put up with.
Oh, the poor baby. I wonder if anybody provides these little diatribes to Bill Clinton, and if Bill just sits there and just chuckles.
he's being unfairly investigated. You hear that, Hillary? God damn it! I tell you what, he's a piece of work. Now they just leaked. They were given one day today to make our case about things that are standard practice throughout the U.S. business community and in no way a crime. They also know that no matter how strong our case, they will work hard to embarrass us and the Republican Party.
Well, you know, maybe foolish geezer. Make it a little harder for them to embarrass you. Right.
Having politically... Jesus Christ. This thing's long and it doesn't even have a giraffe in it. Having politically motivated prosecutors, people who actually get elected because they will get Donald Trump, is a very dangerous thing for our country. In the end, people will not stand for it. Remember, if they can do this to me, they can do it to anyone.
Well, you know, anyone who, you know, deflates company value to in order to reduce tax burdens, but then inflates company value to get skeevy-ass loans because you're a horrible businessman and can't hardly stay in business. I mean, yeah, anybody.
Why would anyone bring their company to New York or even stay in New York, knowing these radical left Democrats would willingly target their company if viewed as a political opponent? It is devastating for New York.
And yet somehow it manages to be the hub of the financial industry and a great deal of other industries in the United States. Go figure. Somehow I don't hear howls of outrage and pain reaching up through the Moranosphere and audible on the moon coming from the other businesses.
These witch hunters are relentlessly seeking to destroy a reputation of a president who's done a great job for this country, if you don't count the 600,000 people dead,
for whose deaths he is solely responsible,
including tax and regulation cuts,
you know, the trillion and a half dollar tax cut giveaway to the extremely rich that we didn't need and continues to do harm to this day.
At border control, rebuilding the military, which he didn't do, and developing the vaccine in record time, again, which he didn't do, thereby saving our country and far beyond. Washington, D.C., and ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court should finally stop these vicious, angry, and highly partisan prosecutors. They're a disgrace to our nation.
Oh, for fuck's sake. But, you know, someday these will stop. Someday. I wonder if they manage to put him in prison, do you reckon they'll still let him send out press releases every day from prison? Or will he just yell through the bars? Yes, Lee points out, Trump is very upset. Did his last golf ball go into the water?
Well, I just take a drop. It didn't really go in the water. It rolled back out.
You forget, Lee adds, that when you consider Onan, you know, the network that spills its news upon the ground, mainstream, the radical left is everywhere. Well, yeah, anybody who ever delivered Nitwit Nero a cold hamburger is from the radical left. Give yourself a cowbell, for this is long, and it doesn't even have a giraffe in it. I will take it, Lee. Thank you very kindly. I wish the Democrats had highlighted this article, Stephen New York says. This article being Cranes downgrades Trump organizations on New York City's biggest companies list after years of inflated revenue reports. Yeah, it's not like that. It's not like it's new. Yeah, oh well. And it occurs to me, Steve adds, Melanoma and Little Boron have completely disappeared. I'm thinking she is de facto, but not yet de jure, divorced. Oh, I don't think she wants to be. Because prenup. So she'll just stay in her part of the tacky tower. And if he knocks on the door, she'll say, go away. I do not want... Yeah. What's that Steve Landisberg bit from Barney Miller? Where he did the spot on Gregory Peck. Yeah. Let me see if I can find that. Because it just makes it's funny. And it pops right up. Steve Landisberg. Dietrich does Gregory Peck. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want me to handle that for you?
Can you say, go away, Beverly is busy, in a very masculine voice?
Go away, Beverly is busy.
He sounds just like Gregory Peck.
Yeah, I know, I can't help it.
Do it again.
Go away. Beverly is busy.
It's really very good.
Go away. Beverly is busy.
I don't know if he can hear you from here.
All right. Howard? Go away. Beverly is busy. We've made other plans, and they don't include you.
This isn't Howard, Mr. Peck.
Biff.
Biff?
Biff Waltman. He's in my sex education class. This is Mr. Dietrich.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay. Who did Gregory Peck?
Wasn't it good?
Do it again.
All right. Go away. Beverly is busy.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's great. It may be the best Gregory Peck ever done. She's made other plans. We have made other plans. And they don't include you. God. Yeah, we need a giggle here and there. So, you know, she'll just have, you know, melanoma has made other plans. And they do not include you. Yeah. Bill in Allentown says, Trump in prison, nitwit Nero will probably yell through the bars and get put into solitary. Well, maybe he and Derek Chauvin could share a cell. Oh, my goodness. Pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan, is also handling some of the moderating duties this evening. Steve! And we got a good group going in there. Stockton Larry, Squeaky, and Roger, and Otto DeShot, and Anatole. Wonderful. And by the way, we have reached the end of the first hour of the program, and we still have Professor Tracy's challenge on the table, courtesy of Tom in sunny San Rafael. And it is untouched thus far. We've got $800 to finish the month of June in proper form. And, well, bills, still bills awaiting paying. So if we could take a bite out of that, that would be wonderful. Oh, I've been upgraded. I'm now throbbing. Throbbing! Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. Randy Radar said, did you hear that Trump recently threw Bill Barr and Moscow Mitch under the bus? Oh, everybody winds up under the bus sooner or later. But nobody's really buying Bill Barr's attempt to exonerate himself and put up a sort of a recast or reimagining his role in the ongoing criminal enterprise that was the big lie. And, of course, he's throwing this fit, nitwit Nero is, because he's getting an idea that, as I pointed out on Friday on the front porch, that probably by this coming Friday, he will, or the Trump organization, will have been indicted. And by the way, Ron in Raleigh says the Republican legislature here in North Carolina is preparing another tax cut on their way to zeroing out corporate income taxes. I wonder how Republicans think the state will be able to pay for what the citizens need. Speaking of melanoma, Slovenia is heading down the right-wing path with an ethno-nationalism and anti-gender laws. This shit will not stop. Fascists don't stop until fascists are stopped. That's just how it goes. Oh, there's the thunder. Thank you, Ralphs, for getting us started on Tom and Sunny San Rafael's Professor Tracy Challenge. Thank you so very much. Hopefully we'll wipe that out and at least we'll be done with fundraising for, you know, today, maybe more. Now, as to other stuff, well, let's check in with the second stupidest man. Oh, and thank you very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont, jumping in alongside Ralphs to work on Tom's Professor Tracy Challenge. Thank you. Making progress. I said second stupidest man in the United States Senate because we did reach consensus one evening that the stupidest man in the United States Senate is Tommy the Tuber from Alabama. Really dumb. But, you know, white supremacist gonna white supremacist. And so he's catching some shit now on a couple of fronts. The second stupidest man in the United States Senate, namely Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He's trying to build some sort of groundswell of candidacy, and so in the course of the past weekend, according to The Hill, the second stupidest man in the United States Senate urged his fellow Republicans to take back local government positions in order to take back our culture. Now, just whose culture he's talking about really doesn't, it's not open to a lot of debate or discussion. He means white people, in case you were wondering. Take back our school boards, our county boards, our city councils. We will take back our culture. We don't have to fear this anymore. Fear what, Ron? I mean, why don't you just say it out loud and have done? Yeah. But it's not just that. Oh, no. No, he's also been taken to task for hosting an anti-vax event. No, really. The commissioner of health in Milwaukee, Kirsten Johnson, took on the second stupidest man in the United States Senate over an event that he hosted. Kirsten Johnson said, Senator Ron Johnson, who publicly confirmed he is unvaccinated, has used his platform today to raise misleading concerns regarding the COVID-19 vaccine. The scientific facts about the COVID-19 vaccine remain. It is safe, it is effective, and complications are extremely rare. We urge Milwaukeeans to talk to people they love and trust, listen to the experts in science, which means, of course, don't listen to Ron Johnson, discuss questions and concerns with licensed medical or health professionals, and continue to get vaccinated to save lives in our community. And added, the burden of disease, hospitalizations, and death due to COVID-19 are the lowest the city of Milwaukee has experienced since the start of this pandemic. This is due in part to the hundreds of thousands of Milwaukeeans who have been vaccinated. Ron Johnson said he wasn't really, really trying to keep people from getting vaccinated. And, of course, he's an idiot. He is, in fact, the second stupidest man in the Senate of the United States. And, you know, hosting a super spreader event. Well, and what he hosted was six people, six barking and grunting people who say that they've been injured by adverse reactions to COVID vaccines. Curiously, they were vaccinated and they're not dead. How about that? Funny how that works. Yeah. Take back our culture. I'm still trying to figure out what white culture is, because it seems like white folks really have just, you know, co-opted other cultures all along the way. Oh, and by the way, I actually have this in the stack from Malloy too, but we'll cover this little piece of ground because I think it's important. The Reuters report came out on Friday. I saw it over the weekend, and Darlene pointed it out to me. The Reuters dateline is Shanghai, and it says something that we've pretty much suspected all along. My God, when I look back to what we sorted out with regard to the origins of the virus, when I look back to that, it's almost astonishing. I mean, it begins with little pieces of information that just just disappeared in record time. But we noticed them here. And we sort of put puzzle pieces together with no corners, which is not easy. And there's a new report out that suggests that the virus was actually running around as early as October 2019, which is exactly what we posited in, what, April of 2020? Based on the fact that the Geezer Disgustus administration was briefed on a new virus getting loose in China, and they were briefed in mid to late November. That was the language that the article used. And then went on to brief our partners in peace, the Israelis. as was borne out by Israeli journalism outlets. Not for sure. I can't remember now if it was Haaretz or the Jerusalem Post. But now, a new study that came out this past Friday from researchers at the University of Kent in the UK, they now estimate that SARS-CoV-2 first showed up early October, a range from early October to mid-November 2019, which meant that we were pretty well on the ball in getting the information back to the well, not the Congress, but to Nitwit Nero and the Defense Department. And apparently this is this journal article has been published at PLOS Pathogens Journal. And one of the things that the article mentions, the report mentions, is that by January 2020, the virus was already global. China only announcing their first case in December 2019. But, and this is the part that'll get the lab leak people the squawking. Some of these early cases and it was discovered in deleted archive data. Some of the early cases had no connection whatsoever to the Huanan wet market. So it was already moving around by the time it got there. But this is not a surprise. Things start small and build and grow. And by the time they become noticeable, and by the time people begin to raise a hue and cry about it, it's already going real good. Remember, the first doctor to try to warn people about it was at first suppressed by the Chinese government, and then he died of the virus himself. Which is a really stupid way to let to put out a bioweapon if you come right down to it. But no, the lab leak people will be barking and hooting and grunting. It was at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, you know, where it's 106 degrees today, because climate change is a Chinese hoax. Jesse Bloom works there and recovered deleted sequencing data from early COVID-19 cases in China. And they didn't quite look like COVID-19 looks now. They certainly didn't look like the Delta variant that's about to set fire to unvaccinated, largely unvaccinated parts of the country. The Australians are digging into this. And in scientific reports, Australian scientists said that they had used genomic data to show that SARS-CoV-2 binds to human receptors far more easily than other species, suggesting it was already adapted to humans when it first emerged. It had probably been going around out in the countryside, and then somebody went home to visit family and brought it back to the city. That seems far more likely than somebody screwed up in the lab. All of this, of course, is subject to the input and analysis of our dear friend Paul from Parts Unknown. And I'll be curious to find out his thoughts on this at his earliest opportunity. In Friday's journal, Joey had pointed out that it was quite a conversation Thursday with Paul from Parts Unknown. There were several takeaways, Joey observed, but the one that stuck out to both Jeffrey and me was the fact that this pandemic is far from over, and we can still potentially catch the damn virus if we, the unvaccinated, are in close contact with unvaccinated morons. Joey noted Paul's contribution was very informative, and I hope all of the Horn family had a chance to listen. We really need to hear from Paul more often, or at least once a month for an update. Joey says, I recommend you schedule him if possible for a monthly message, because we benefit greatly from his contributions. And I agree, but Paul is literally working overtime and does his dead level best to get information to us as it is possible for him to do so. But I largely agree. And remember, you know, I make a mention of this at the end of every program and in the middle of this one, that the vaccine is your last line of defense, not your first one. So the precautions become ever more important. But damn, we were right. We were absolutely right. And, you know, I'm not surprised by it because we get shit right before a lot of people do. Australia's right-wing toids fucked it up. Stephen New York notes, I just saw that in addition to them entering lockdown again in certain areas, that their right-wing government only purchased enough vaccine to poke 4% of the population. Well, geniuses. I better check the... what's it saying? Yeah. Yep, that's definitely a thunderstorm, and it's going to continue through the 7 o'clock hour Eastern Daylight Time as well. Robert in Australia, did I mention the lockdown? I woke up on Monday morning to discover that Sydney went into full-on two-week lockdown on Sunday. The Delta variant got into the country somehow. It turns out the borders aren't as locked down as I thought. And boy, does it spread fast. One man passed it on to 30 people at a party. So the lockdown was announced. And did people react fast? I watched videos of people queuing to get into supermarkets on Sunday. The panic was on. And there was a wonderful shot of a hatchback car driving away, the back of it full of hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. Enough to last a few years at least. Me? I'm sitting at home in isolation, keeping myself busy. P.S. My second COVID-19 shot is due on Friday. Is that 4% number correct, Robert? Wow. And by the way, there's been further development on the question of boosters. I think it is almost lead pipe cinch certain that we will have to have boosters at some point in time because this thing just keeps mutating. And meanwhile, the young Earth creationists are like, what? Yeah, it's called evolution. Right. This past Saturday, saw a nitwit Nero rally in Ohio. Some wag noting, I don't know why Republicans want to come out and support a loser. Because he is. John in Central PA sent this along to me. Yeah, Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cueball was not sincere with that bogus apology. She's as fascist as the day is long. And what John means by that is this clip from the Clavering rally that Nitwit Nero held over the weekend. Oh, how easy is it to utterly despise Marjorie Traitor Gangrene Cueball? She's not a truth teller. She's not someone, crying out to an unhearing, heedless, hedonistic. No. She's just a liar and an idiot. And my guess is she would never say in person what she is saying at this rally to the face of the people she's saying it about. Because there probably wouldn't be much left to her but a greasy spot. You know, it helps more, or it helps if I have the right pot up.
Led by AOC, the little communist from New York City. That's right. Yeah, lock her up, too. That's a good idea.
On what charge, dumbass?
She's not an American. She really doesn't embrace our American ways. You want to know why? She has something called the Green New Deal.
Yeah, AOC is a little communist who isn't an American. Guess what? She is. And so too is Rashida Tlaib. And so too is Ilhan Omar. All of the squad are Americans. But, you know, you don't need me to tell you that. But here we are, and AOC responded. She called her the little communist. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez started out, first of all, I'm taller than her. Yeah. First of all, I'm taller than her. When invited to enter a pissing match with Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball, she said, I refuse to allow young women, people of color, people who are standing up for what they believe in, to see this kind of intimidation attempts by a person who supports white supremacists in our nation's capital. Not going to let kids see that we're going to be intimidated out of our fight for justice. Jesus, she's so much more intelligent. And the idiot went on, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball, and noted that in this speech before the grunting, barking, hooting, maskless, butthole to belly button, the maggots, she said she wants to impeach President Biden on grounds God knows what. Well, you know, because he's not her God Emperor Nitwit Nero. She wants to expel Maxine Waters from the House, and she wants to fire Dr. Anthony Fauci. And so when she said fire Fauci, the assembled assembled barking and hunting and grunting maggots chanted lock him up, and she pumped her fist in the air. And nothing will be done. Because for some reason or another, we find it difficult to, and God knows the Republicans are fine and dandy with anything she says. Kevin McCarthy won't call her out or call her down. And if by some miracle she was actually called out on it, well, she'd just say, you know, I was only kidding. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just political hyperbole. Right. Ugh. Oh, but something I did want to bring up and started on, and then, as usual, got sidetracked. A lot of sidetracks around here. If it is given as a third dose or a booster more than 6 months after one's second shot of either Pfizer or Moderna or whatever, the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine, according to the researchers who developed it, is an effective booster to other vaccines if it's given as a third dose or a booster. There was a small-scale study that analyzed delayed and third doses that said that a prolonged lag between the initial two doses of up to 45 weeks also enhanced immunity from the vaccine. And delayed dosing findings are good news for people who are running short, countries that are running short. It is a small-scale study. It's not large enough to really draw conclusions, but it is something of an indication. So other companies are working on boosters. I'm sure Pfizer and Pfizer-BioNTech is. I'm sure Moderna is. Obviously, AstraZeneca is. But they're probably out there in our future. And I've been kind of watching the 6-week mark. I will be 6 weeks out from my second dose on October, or 6 months, not 6 weeks. 6 months out on, I think, October 1st. And that's probably, when it would be a good idea to get, if they authorize it for that. Jesus. You know, if only these bioterrorist insurgent Confederate states would get with the program. We've said all along, you know, we could be done with this. But it requires us to recognize that we're all in this together. And cases have risen from the lows that they were at. They're going back up now as the Delta variant, first identified in India, begins to spread and become the dominant strain in the United States. In states like Missouri, Alabama, Mississippistan, where the vaccination rates are nothing if not abysmal. So, as was noted in an email earlier, we ain't nowhere near done. Oh, no. No, no. And let's see. We are now at the halfway point of the program. We have taken a $20 bite out of Tom's challenge. If we can meet the other 80, that will finish fundraising for today. And maybe even move on to tomorrow so that we can finish June to the good, or at least even, as it were. And this is, of course, Conversation Radio. If you'd like to get involved and involved in the program and you've got something to add, feel free to chime in on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, or on the Stress Line, which, of course, is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And because Brother Deacon Asa reminds me that I'm somewhat remiss, if you want to help out to keep the program on the air, the interface is right there at headon.live, the PayPal interface. If you want to do Patreon, you click on the Contribute tab, and it's there. And there's always the United States Postal Service, the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And checks and money orders should be made to Head On Communications. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Let's see here. Let me take care of that. There we go. My God, even Ace is at 110 degrees out in British Columbia. Jesus. What, did it cross 108 degrees over the weekend or a few days ago in the Arctic? Nah, there's nothing wrong with the planet. Planet's fine. Sparky noting hundreds walked out while Trump was speaking. I guess maybe they didn't want to hear the same speech for the, 162nd time. New material is not his strong suit. No, not in the least. Okay, let's run over. Let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Steve in New York. Hey, Steve.
Hello, my dear Robin. How art thou?
Oh, I art okay. Just hoping the power stays on so we can finish the program because it's getting kind of rumbly.
Gotcha. Well, happy first Pride.
Thank you. It has been a lovely month.
Good deal. But by the way, the I don't know if you had seen the temperature in, I don't remember if it was British Columbia, but wherever it was 46.6 degrees Celsius, the temperature, which is 116 degrees in Canada. It was the highest ever.
Jesus.
Yeah, that long pause, it was completely appropriate. Because Canuclea just doesn't get that hot. Except now.
Well, and it will be in the future.
It will be in the future. And I want to, the biggest reason I'm calling is I want to clarify what I said about Australia. I had seen an article in The Guardian today that said that they only purchased 4%. They only purchased enough vaccine for 4%, and that was a huge complaint about their right-wing government. I haven't been able to find that article that I read, but what I did find is that they are actually only 4% vaccinated in the population. I don't know if that's all they bought, but they have.
I think Robert has confirmed to us in the past that the government response has been weak, to put it generously.
Right, and let's be honest here. The only reason that it has been, you know, halfway decent in the U.S. is because of President Joseph Robinette Biden. It's, you know what, from what I have read, there's only one country where it's been actually pretty good. And Iran, well, at least for a certain numbers of their population, is Israel.
Not so much for the Palestinians, but, you know,
right.
They've
exactly.
gotten, you know, the Palestinians have gotten a few vials of, like, you know, outdated Putinka vodka in an ampule.
But listen, we all know that they're not really people. You know, I mean.
Oh, there are people in the. What's his name? His last name's Pedoritz. He said there's no actual. There's not even any such thing as an actual Palestinian. Talk about being erased.
Yeah, John Pedoritz. He was a, isn't he an acolyte of, Bill Kristol's an acolyte of his.
I think you're right, yeah.
You know what? They take disgusting to a whole new level. But, you know, and again, I'm on board with what you just said. But, and I hate saying putting that aside, but for sake of argument, I will say, putting that aside, Israel has been good, at least for the Israeli population. Whereas, and again, the story.
Well, I mean, remember, Steve, we prop their economy up so that they can give universal health care to their citizens while we don't have it.
Right. And also allow women to basically completely control their own bodies. But in Canada, every time I think Canada's got it together, and listen, I feel like I've become the Mike Malloy of the horn, you know, the skunk at the picnic, or I've somewhat inherited the Robin Kincaid, little fucking ray of sunshine. I just see everything through the eyes of my partner in Ottawa, and it's just every time I think, okay, here we go, something happens, and it just anyway. But back onto stuff here. I'm sorry. I really wanted to clarify what I said about Gavin Grimm. I really wasn't saying that was about ultimately about where he went potty. But I when I read that headline at CNN, when I was a kid, lo, these many years ago, and I'm sure you had the same bringings up. Number one, your mama told you, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
It's the thumper rule from Bambi. Thumper, yeah. What have I told you? If you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all.
Don't say nothing at all. And can I just tell you, I just, as hard as it was for me as a gay dude, I for my trans brothers and sisters like yourself, I can't even imagine. I just don't, and I am.
I know.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. What about your life? What about these folks' life? It's so vapid that they have to care about you. I don't get it. I just don't understand it.
Well, their lives are shitty and miserable, and they are bounded by 7th century BCE philosophies that have next to no bearing on our modern lives. I mean, there are some truisms in there, but, you know, really, banning the wearing of a polycotton blend top? Sorry. That doesn't work for me in the 21st century.
I get it.
And so their shitty, miserable, unimaginative little lives are bounded by that kind of garbage. And consequently, they look at and frankly are jealous of people who are living their authentic lives, whether they are gay, whether they are straight, whether they're bi, lesbian, whether they are whatever. They are jealous. And frankly, you know, I mean, you're the numbers guy. You know what I'm about to say is true. You know, they say that the population, you know, if we're just going to talk about trans, the trans population is somewhere around 1% of the overall population of the United States. And that works out to about 3.3 million people.
Sure.
Well, here's the other thing. Statistics are devilish. And what that means is there are probably other people who are trans but not out, or gay but not out, lesbian but not out. And they are a part of that population of people who are barking and grunting and hooting about who goes potty where. You know, maybe it's maybe and frankly, I think it's probably bigger than any 1%, Steve.
I completely agree with you.
You know, maybe, Jesus, maybe it's 25% of these fucking weirdos. And so, you know, one of the motivations behind all of this foolish obsession with how people go potty is because they themselves are eaten alive with envy of anyone who gets to live their authentic life.
To be happy.
They're green, Steve.
Dare I say, an awful lot are looking at you and going, fucking A, she looks fantastic.
Thank you.
And instead, and people have gone from them as fake boobs to, are them as fake boobs?
Them's fake boobs.
I know I sit here on the phone going, But I
know.
I
do that 3 hours a night. What are you talking about?
I don't. And listen. And maybe I have a jaundiced view of my childhood. But I just don't. I don't remember this shit. I don't remember people caring. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I just didn't.
Well,
you don't
remember it because it wasn't out there, because it wasn't okay to be out and be seen. And so, you know, the barkers and the grunters and the hooters didn't have to worry about anything. And that's the world they want. They want a world that looks like it is nice and white and straight, and nobody ever need think otherwise. They don't. And I think this works with my jealousy theory, Steve, because it doesn't trigger them to see people. I mean, how can I put this?
You're starting to sound like me with the grunts and the whatever. It's not understandable to a thing.
No, but if they see a world that just looks same and bland and you know, with no variance, no differences, then they can continue to delude themselves and they can live with their own jealousy and their own dysphoria. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Does it make sense? No. Does it explain? Yes. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, I'm never actually going to understand it, because I just can't imagine. Look, I just can't imagine, even if I was like, God, that's just weird, I don't like it, yada yada. At the very least, I would be like, look, I don't get it, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I'm not going to spend my frickin' days and nights having it preoccupy my brain. Does that make any sense? I mean, am I being weird here?
You've got a busy, engaged, you know, no matter how you may feel at any given moment, you've got a busy, engaged life, and you've got stuff to focus on, and you're not just sitting around listening to a bunch of gospel sharps, because your life is better than that.
I listen to you, and we've had a lot of conversations about your excuse me, being dipped by the heel.
Mm-hmm.
In the evangelical stuff. And look, I will make no bones about my, I don't have a Catholic upbringing, but that's a whole other issue. I don't even know how to, I keep saying it over and over, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand. And I, you know what, maybe it's part of it is I don't want to think that people can be this preoccupied. I don't want to think that. I want to think that.
You want to think people are better than they are?
Yeah. Isn't that a kick in the head?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It made me feel stupid.
We all have a sort of. You know, sooner or later, we all run across that old statement, you know, denial is not just a river in Egypt. And we want to, you know, we want to deny that there are people who are that awful in our country. But us deluding ourselves doesn't make them any less real or their hate any more vitriolic. And it's active. Pathetic.
And active.
Yeah. And Jeremy, active. Jeremy in Vermont just pointed out, you know, Jeremy and Ralph's have gotten us started on Tom and Sonny San Rafael's challenge, and we're $80 away from filling that.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Ralph's. Jeremy says, subject line, 1%. I've personally known two or three other people in my life that identify as trans, 4 if I include you, Robin. Feel free. There are far more than the 1%, I dare say, more like 25%, all hidden due to society norms. And what we're going to, and this is literally, you know, it literally is a battle for freedom, Steve. I hate using words like fight and war and battle, and because it's just kind of gross and eliminationist.
They use the word struggle.
Yeah, that's what I usually use as struggle. And it is a struggle for survival. And it's also a struggle to create a world where all the closet doors open. Because, you know, we're finding out more and more, and, sadly, I think about this stuff probably more than is healthy. But if you are a decent human being, you want people to be happy. in their lives. And so, you know, if we can ever reach a place where we have flung all the closet doors open and taken them off the goddamn hinges and gone out and built a bonfire of the closet doors, this will be a better country. Because we're finding, you know, the people who say, oh, God damn it, there ain't nothing but boys and girls. All you got to do is look twixt your leg and you can figure out which one you are. That's biological sex. That ain't gender. Gender is so much more.
It's a societal concept.
Complicated thing.
I honestly, and I'm not shitting you, I was having this almost exact conversation with a friend of mine the other day. I said, sex is very simple. It's this, it's genetic, it's whatever. Gender is, it's completely fluid. And what's it's frankly whatever you want it to be.
And it's whatever you perceive. That's the thing. It's not hard and fast. And in fact, I think it was Popular Science that I saw a graphic. My big sister Terry shared it. And, you know, there's a chart that identifies a continuum with something like 57 variants on gender. And it's growing. And these fools want to sit around like that old English king and command the tides not to come in. Tide's coming in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? We need to get Terry back on here as we talk about, and I'm this is a total tangent, talking about what happened in Florida.
Yeah, the geology of, yeah, know what? I'll mention that to her next time we're chatting.
Yeah, because I would love to hear about what exactly they did, whether or not they should have done it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
What happens when ground gets constantly inundated by seawater because, right. You know, I mean, it's not even king tides. You know, it used to be king tides, and I'm sure Scary Jerry could educate us on this, too. Mm-hmm. But it used to be you'd get one of those so-called king tides in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the streets in Miami Beach would flood.
Sure.
Well, now it's not even king tides. It's just high tide.
Doesn't it have a lot to do with, I mean, God, everything seems to come back to climate change and the rising seawaters and the erosion of the coasts and the infiltration of seawater into the Everglades and all that. Does that all enter into that, do you know?
Sure it does. I mean, see, just fresh water is destructive enough. Anybody who's ever seen a river get out of its banks knows that. Mm-hmm. But seawater, by virtue of all the salt, is corrosive. And all these buildings were held up with concrete and rebar, you know, reinforced concrete. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I live on the rim of a gorge some 300 million years old that literally carved into the earth 876 feet. Jeez, and that's just God. Water running over the course of 300 million years.
You mean 6,000 for the flood?
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Noah Whitewater rafted down the New River. He was the first New River Gorge tourist.
Okay. I had to throw a little levity in there.
Absolutely.
We were getting entirely too serious.
Yeah, and you know, meanwhile, Randy Radar says there's a heat index of 100 to 105 degrees Fahrenheit here near Philly and will continue into Wednesday night. I remember that heat in Philly a couple of years ago. You know, it's how has Todd referred to it? It's the southernmost northern city or the northernmost southern city.
I get you.
Yeah.
It was 100. I think the heat index was 100 and 108 or 115 here yesterday. I didn't go out for, there was some abbreviated parade. I didn't go out, you know, for a number of reasons. but I didn't want to be out in that crap. But yeah, so, well, listen, I don't want to take up too much time. I'm here at the office, and I got here early today, and I kind of want to go, or I kind of want to leave a little bit early, but I wanted to call in and just chat for a bit, say howdy doody, and on that Katz's death, I think you've given that to me two or three times. I just can't find. I don't, you know.
I will dig back around.
Because I was looking at it today, getting ready, and everyone has their block, and that's one of my blocks. But the other issue that I texted you about, that seems to, I'm not quite sure why, but really bringing me down here in the last.
Well, you know, there's a lot to bring you down. I mean, we delude ourselves thinking, well, you know, the pandemic's over. We don't have to wear a mask. You know, if you're anywhere that you don't know who's vaccinated and you're not wearing a mask, not a great idea. And we're not out.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm super hyper conscious of it, Steve, because I live in a place that lives on tourism. So that means, you know, we're in the heart of it now. It's going to get even more intense as the summer goes on. And, you know, people from all over every day. And I still think the way I was thinking last year, you know, who's going to be the one that brings it in?
Listen, if you remember, HIV began with patient zero.
Right.
And, you know, and people in Australia have been saying, how in the hell did the virus, you know what, viruses, you know, Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park said life finds a way. And I feel like I've kind of approached the virus that way. It finds a way to get where it wants to get. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm scared to death of this Delta thing, this Delta. And I don't know if
And the thing is, there's a Delta thing on top of a Delta thing now.
Yeah, there's a Delta plus. I mean, if you think about it, the Delta variant is 60 times more infectious than the Alpha variant, which was 50 times more infectious than the initial virus. So 50 times 60 is 3,000. So the Delta variant is 3,000 times more infectious than, is that right? Yeah, 3,000 than the initial.
And that's chilling. And it in a matter of weeks, the Delta variant will be the dominant variant in the United States. And so that means in unvaccinated stand states, the death toll is going to climb, and it's probably going to climb rather quickly.
And when it hits, it's going to reach, you know, it's like I always look at this stuff like when a wave crashes over the on the beach, it has the momentum, and then all of a sudden it topples over. And I, you know, as much as I, you know, criticize our southern brothers and sisters, I don't want them to suffer, and I'll tell you, I see Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana and all these states, and oh my God, Texas and Florida. My dad and my stepmom said, yeah, we're going to take a vacation. I think we're going to go to Florida.
No.
I said, stay away from Florida, please. I mean, go anywhere, but go to South Carolina, go to Hilton Head or wherever the hell, Charleston, wherever. If you want to go somewhere warm, go, you know, find
somewhere.
Well,
it's not like North Georgia's exactly frigid right now, Steve.
I know.
Yeah, go out to the barrier islands of the Georgia coast. I mean, perfectly lovely out there.
Yeah, I should tell my dad that. But I when he said Florida, I was like, Dad, no. Please don't. And I'll tell you one last thing that I'm going to get going. I don't know if I ever mentioned, but my uncle died last September, and they're having a memorial for him in Ohio on July 10th. And I thought about going, but I'll be honest with you, I'm fully vaccinated. I have my vaccine passport. Yes, we do have that in New York. But I do not want to fly anywhere.
No, and apparently, in fact, I saw a story come across just a little bit ago saying that it said planning to fly in the near future.
Don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find it. Hopping on a plane sometime soon, expect long lines, delayed flights, and cancellations. Why air travel will suck so much this summer, and that's over at Vox.
So, throw in COVID with the schedule bullshit. I see people in restaurants here going in and out, not wearing masks. And I know that the proportion of vaccinated people here in New York and in New York City is on the higher side as the country goes, but this, it just has the feel of letting your guard down, of people letting their guard down, and nature going, ha, who said nature always has the last laugh?
Nature bats last.
Was that, did you say that, or?
Yes. I mean, I stole it.
Well, I try not to get scared of much, but I just have this bad feeling of going into the fall and winter of this year. I just have a bad feeling about it. But, you know, hopefully we'll hear periodically from Paul in parts unknown to tell us, you know, what might happen, what seems to be happening, and what we should do.
I think he has given us solid advice all along.
Mm-hmm.
And when he recently said, and I take what he says to us to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said the vaccine is your last line of defense, not your first, that really went home with me.
So that means
the hand washing and the hand sanitizer and the masks are everything. And now that maybe there's slightly more availability, get as good a mask as you can have.
Yeah, I bought some surgical masks. I probably will. Anyway.
Well, I'm using the either N95 masks or, KN95.
Right.
Or the ones with the KN95 inserts.
Gotcha. Do you still have the bacon flavor? The bacon flavored, or?
I think the last one went to its long home about a month ago.
Okay. You know what? I went back to that place to see if they had that. And all they had was the cognac mustard. So when I can get back up there, I'll just do the cognac mustard.
Oh God, that would be so good.
Yeah, it's fucking expensive. So.
Oh, but, don't hurt yourself. Don't do that.
Listen.
Oh,
listen.
I gotta send out a thank you to our pal Texas T. We're now down to $60 to go on Tom and Sunny San Rafael's Professor Tracy Challenge. Thank you, Texas T. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You know what, Tracy? If you have my email, email me. I have a particular professor I think she'd be interested in looking into.
Okay. And I'll mention it to her off air as well.
Yeah.
Hey, we heard back from Robert in Australia. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa pointed out Oz's rate is not 4%. It's somewhere north of 20. Canada's number one, north of 60%. And Canada's rates are actually higher than the UK and Israel. So that's, good, good on Canoodlia.
I think it depends on the province you're in.
No, this is Canada as a whole. So
I don't have near the positive view of Canoodlia that Asa does. Asa.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he lives there, so,
I know. I hear, but, my partner lives there. By the way, if Ron from Ottawa is listening, thank you. He knows, he'll know what I mean, but I want to say thank you. he has been a real trooper on some stuff that I've asked him about and get his insight on.
And so what Robert says, the vaccine rollout in Oz, we can actually make vaccines here in Australia. In September 2020, Australia finally ordered a combined 85 million doses of AstraZeneca and the locally developed University of Queensland vaccine, both of which would be manufactured here. Somehow, trials of both vaccines were bungled. Don't ask. This resulted in production of the University of Queensland vaccine being abandoned. The locally produced AstraZeneca vaccine became the only one available as a result. Pfizer had approached the federal government in June 2020, but it wasn't until November 2020, 4 months later, that the Commonwealth announced it had inked a deal for 10 million doses, a little what the fuck there. The first Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccines arrived in February 2021, after the Prime Minister had set an ambitious target that the vaccine would be offered to every Australian adult by October. That's 25 million doses over 8 months. While the manufacturing of AstraZeneca was still ramping up in Melbourne, we relied on doses from Europe. Then Europe effectively blocked more than 3 million doses when it put its domestic supply ahead of exports to Australia. Understandable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The distribution system was there, but there was a limited number of Pfizer and AstraZeneca vaccines to put in it. The rollout depended on GPs, general practitioners, running vaccine clinics, but the vaccines were hard to obtain. Then we had the reports of issues with the AstraZeneca vaccine causing blood clots. Research from the ANU, the Australian National University, found that while a willingness to take a safe and effective vaccine is high, 8 in 10 Australians were concerned about possible side effects of the AstraZeneca vaccine. So a lot of people, including the over 60s, are waiting until the Pfizer vaccine becomes more available to be vaccinated. I'm taking the AstraZeneca vaccine, as here in Australia it's been recommended for people over 60. My GP has it, and the chances of side effects are effectively next to zero.
To nothing. Yeah.
And signed Robert in Oz in isolation. Yeah, it's like the issue of myocarditis in young people.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiny. And frankly, the odds of myocarditis just happening are probably something approaching co-equal with that number.
Right.
So it may not even be a case of, what's the old saying? Association is not causation.
Correlation is not causation.
Exactly.
Hey, what the fuck is it about right wingers, wherever they are? Think about what he just read and what their government, what their government said. Doesn't that sound the same thing that Bojo has said and Trump said? It's all the same shit. Tell me I'm wrong here.
You aren't.
But it's almost like I don't know where the hell I sit on the political spectrum. All I know is I ain't one of them.
I ain't no mask whole COVID yet, and I ain't no maggot.
No, and whatever happened to just simple shit like helping your fellow human being? What happened to that?
Well, they don't deserve help because they don't think right, according to the maggots. They don't believe right. And, you know, some of this is just simple human forgetfulness or the failure to transmit. You know, we were talking, and Tracy spoke so eloquently on Friday about transmitted inherited trauma.
Right. And well, by the way, I have to tell you, Tracy and Bernadette were fucking on fire.
Oh, they were absolutely on fire.
Anybody didn't hear the front porch, you need to go back and listen to that whenever you can, because I know there's the issue with Podbean.
Yeah, it's for some reason or another, Apple Podcasts is screwing up. I don't know what's going on. But the bottom line is, this doesn't really help. I need to put this out again on social media. The bottom line is, it's up. The podcast goes up after every program at whiterosesociety.org. Under my subpage. And it's there every night. And I don't know why the XML feed isn't. It picks up for whatever podcasting platform Chris in Germany uses. It picks it up first thing every time.
Sounds like somebody's got a messed up flageolet or Knuten.
No, the Knuten valve is shattered into a million tiny pieces, and it's leaking. Leaking.
Freon.
Well, leaking not
Freon.
It's leaking. Hexaderpa flappinard all over the place.
Where do you come up with this shit?
Didn't you hear how long that took me? Hexaderpa flappinard?
But it was hexadecimal flappinard.
That's hexaderpa.
Oh, hexaderpa.
Yeah, flappinard. Oh,
gotcha. Okay. That as I'm
makes a real mess.
Yeah, my understanding though is that you can actually get that if you need it, but it's like a byproduct of sex clams having intercourse.
It is produced solely and exclusively by Alabama sex clams, except no other sex clams except Alabama sex clams.
You know what? You're a fucking weirdo, and I love you to death for it.
Absolutely. I finally learned to embrace it.
Yeah, embrace your nuts. Oh, excuse me.
Well, no, not anymore.
Okay, wait a minute now. I misapprehended.
7:06 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and the train is off the tracks and running through the gutter.
Yeah, through the gutter, yeah. But listen, I'm going to run because I want to get somebody else on.
Absolutely, and you'll be thrilled to know that Ralph's spelled hexaderpa flappinard on the first go-round. Yes, hexaderpa flappinard, Ralph's.
And wait, you said that's the stuff that the flageolet when it's not good.
No, it's the Knuten valve. If your Knuten valve goes bad, it leaks hexaderpa flappinard all over the place.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, That's
and it's probably, both, and it's both slimy and greasy, and slick and thick at the same time.
Okay.
Matt, on the other hand, in San Francisco, says hexaderpa flappinard comes out with a little water and baking soda.
There better be a cowbell there.
Yeah, but cold water. Don't use the hot. It's a cold water process. Mm-hmm.
No, if anybody happened onto the program just about two or three minutes ago, they're thinking themselves.
I wonder about the people who just picked it. Hey, what is this? Let's listen. Oh, fuck, no.
Hexaderpa.
She's nuts. Well, not really.
You know what? It's time to go. Listen, I love you more than my luggage, okay?
Oh, I love you like chicken.
Take care of yourself, okay?
All right, see you, Steve. Night. You too. Bye now. Bye-bye. Steve in New York. We all need a little silliness now and then. And, you know, if you really want silliness, you need to have a 55-gallon drum of hexaderpa flappinard right there at hand. I want to go back to something Ron and Raleigh asked a minute ago. And because... subject line, AOC. What the fuck is wrong with Glenn Greenwald? He wrote a piece about AOC where he called her out about her statement about the hysteria about the spike in violent crime. After a years-long decline in violent crime, we're having a small uptick in violent crime while all other crime is still declining. I used to have some respect for that guy. No longer. Well, I mean, that's you, Ron. It didn't take me very long at all to figure out that Glenn Greenwald... turns every issue into a seventh-grade slap fight without fail. Because that's how he is. And long and long ago, I read an article in which he identified himself, and it was about the same time, I think, that Julian Assange was doing, I'm probably more of a libertarian. And that tells me a lot. More than I really want to know. It does. So... I think that's part of it. And Ron adds, P.S. Windows 11's on the way, and it'll make all of your devices orphans. Well, we tried to build this back when Fab funded the creation of the Fab machine. We tried to build this thing in such a way that it would be future-proof for at least a few years. So it's still got a real hotshot processor in it, and it's still got a kick-ass motherboard in it. And I think as much memory as you could put in in the system at that time. So I'm hoping that Windows 11 won't, and they haven't said yet whether it's going to cost or not. Because, you know, they gave away Windows 10 for a certain period of time, and so everything here now is running on Windows 10. I hope I don't have a studio full of orphans. I really do. And Ron also noted, oddly enough, it's only 84 degrees here in Raleigh. It's been in the 90s, but hasn't broken 100 yet. And it's because of that weather system that basically cooled up. It turned June into early March all over the southeast. I mean, God, right about the time the solstice was coming along, I looked up and said, you know, who invited St. Patrick's Day to the summer solstice party? But no, we're out of that now because it was hot in Lewisburg on Saturday. And I just kept saying to myself, please let the waterproof mascara live up to its billing, please. Because on my second Pride event ever, I didn't want to be, you know, doing my Alice Cooper impression. No. Randy in PA points out, and the party's gone a little wonky. It gets that way sometimes. Sometimes it needs to get that way, I think. Just to lighten up the madness a tad. Oh, by the way, program note. And we are into the third hour of the program. We got $60 to go to finish off Tom and Sonny San Rafael's Professor Tracy Challenge. Thank you, Tom. And thank you to Ralphs and Jeremy and Texas T jumping in on that. $60 more can be doubled. All you got to do is hop in while this thing is still good. So thank you. Delta variant, Tom and Sonny San Rafael says, I'm with you on the masks, etc. Here I'm in Marin County. Over 90% of the population has received at least one dose. Over 80% are fully vaccinated. Delta is already the dominant variant here, and virtually all new cases are in unvaccinated people. Unfortunately, hardly anyone's wearing a mask now, and I'm terrified we'll have a vax-resistant mutant outbreak any day now. Well, I think we've already got a vax-resistant mutant outbreak, and they're called maggots. But that's me. As always, Tom points out, the state lifted all restrictions too soon. Sheesh. Tom, in sunny and pleasant, 72 degree San Rafael. Oh, that would be pleasant. And that's about that's how it should be, right? What was it? Years and years and years ago, there was the headline in the San Francisco Examiner. 74 again today, no relief in sight. We've got to keep taking it seriously, and we can't let our guard down. I mean, I have to go to the pharmacy after the program and pick up my pick up a couple of prescriptions. The mask will be on, and it doesn't matter if it ruins my lipstick. I can reapply. I just don't want to die. So there's that. No, what I was saying. Program note. Wednesday. There's a possibility, in fact, well, if I go, it's a downright likelihood there will be no program Wednesday because I mentioned toward the end of the program Friday the passing of one of my comrades in the struggle against mountaintop removal, Chuck Nelson. He had a massive heart attack and didn't make it. Family was with him when he went. And so his funeral will be down in the Coal River Valley on Wednesday at 3. There will be I find this cultural tradition mind-boggling. But, you know, where Roman Catholicism has a wake, Southern Protestants in particular have a viewing. It's like we have to go and have a last look and make sure, you know, nope, gone. And I'm not making light, but there will be a viewing for 2 hours ahead of the service. It's possible I may run down and put in my and, you know, offer my condolences and sympathies, maybe not stay through the service and get back up here. But it's kind of a poke all the way down there and back. And even that would be a close call. So if there's no program on Wednesday, that's why. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that piece of information. I hope that's not, but it probably, my luck, it probably would be. Thanks for that piece of tech. Thank you to Henry. Henry just took us down to $35 to go on Tom's Challenge. Thank you, Henry. Thank you so very much. And so Henry doubled his money, just like Jeremy and Ralphs and Texas T did. Thank you. And that means we've got a fighting, you know, if we meet the challenge, we will have a fighting chance to finish the month of June even. And it's more important than I can adequately express. Okay, similar information as what I got a minute ago coming from Ron in Raleigh. I am not running an Intel CPU, so maybe that provides a little bit of help. Thanks for that. Well, now that we've got the Hexaderpa flapping art off of the floor, we can move on to other stories. Sparky sent me, oh Jesus, really, I mean, maggots. Oof. So it turns out that Springsteen on Broadway at the St. James Theater is the first theater to open in the return of the Great White Way. And of course it's sold out forever, however long he wants to do it. But the thing is, apparently you have to be vaccinated to go in. Mark Keller from King of Prussia, PA, traveled up for the show. He said, "I'm thrilled to be here to support him, but more than that, it's still about supporting Broadway and being here for the first show when we opened." Well, there's nothing that the shit-eating, COVID-iot, anti-masker maggots won't try to ruin. The St. James Theater requires that everybody entering the theater has to show proof of full COVID-19 vaccination. It's not unreasonable, certainly not irrational, but, well, the mask hole COVIDiot maggots ye have always with ye. So they brought their stupid protest signs to their stupid protest outside the St. James Theater to protest Bruce Springsteen's show because you have to have a vaccine to get in. So they were there with their sign, "Event for vaccinated only. Unvaccinated not allowed." Now, what they did, oh, this is so clever, because being a dainty, delicate, fragile snowflake is just like being black. Because this Karen is holding up a sign, they originally printed it, "Event for whites only, colored not allowed," and changed white to vaccinated in red and colored to unvaccinated. That's right. Karen, holding the sign, is being subjected to segregation the same way that African Americans were in Jim Crow. I'm surprised they haven't co-opted the new Jim Crow as a slogan yet, for God's sakes, fucking idiots. Yeah. And another twit was singing "Born Not to Vaccinate" to the tune of "Born in the USA," And they made shitty speeches and compared, compared not being able to go see Bruce Springsteen without a vaccine to being a Jew in Nazi Germany. And some of the mask hole covidiots were screaming, "Gas chambers ahead! Nazi Germany, take out your papers!" And of course, there's even audio. You can't eradicate measles with a live virus, what? There's a sign with a picture of some woman killed by the COVID vaccine. Wait, I think this is the singing part. Hold on. Yeah, this is going to be horrible.
Born not to vaccinate. Born not to vaccinate. I was born not to vaccinate. I was born not to vaccinate. I was born not to vaccinate.
Doors, they have to wear their yellow star. And that's what this health passport is about. That's what it is. It's a yellow star of our time. It's our yellow star of our time. Nazi Germany all over again. If people don't see that, I don't know how I can help you. We're fighting for you too.
We demand equal rights now, say a whole bunch of these mass-produced signs. Wouldn't surprise me if they were, Robert. Robert says, are they chanting "Save Our Fruit"? The bananas are in jeopardy. Yes. Maybe they're protesting unbent bananas, Robert. I know. Billable Rick says, don't smarten up the chumps, Robin. You shouldn't give the anti-vaxxers any ideas on how to brand their protest as the new Jim Crow. Be careful what you whisper into the ear of the universe. Yeah, but they'll just look even more stupid than they already are. You know, until strange Karen fruit starts hanging from trees, I don't think I'm just not there with, no, not saying that I want that to happen. I don't. But they're probably already doing it. But the thing is, all these mass-produced signs, you know, professionally printed. The anti-vax movement has money. Hell, I don't know. Maybe it's got some Kennedy money in it. You know, now that Bobby Jr. has gone full bananas anti-vaxxer. You know, if I was Bruce Springsteen, I'd want everybody in the theater to be vaccinated too. You know why? Because he's like nearing 70, isn't he? You're right. Ugh. But you know, right? They're aggrieved. Laugh, says Jeremy in Vermont. I still laugh that it took the right wing the better part of 25 years to finally figure out Bruce's Born in the USA as a protest song. Yeah, Otne Ute Eitbre, if you own a what I ain't may, the Eitre Ingwe. I love the fact. I mean, he got reelected, but some of us at least got a little schadenfreude out of the fact that old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan's campaign, didn't understand what was going on in the lyric to Born in the USA. Yeah. And, oh, thank you, Kevin. Tom and Sunny San Rafael's Professor Tracy challenge has been met, and we are $5 started on tomorrow. So the fundraising goal to finish the week is, or to finish the month, is now down to let's see, $5.95. Why always Germany? Robert asks. Why is it always a comparison to Nazi Germany? Why not something more local, like slavery or indigenous reservations, stuff that actually happened in the USA? P.S. Yes, we had slavery in Oz. No excuses for it. Greed. Plain and simple. Yeah. I mean, slavery was, in the United States, chattel slavery was just capitalism on steroids. Because almost every awful thing that happens is capitalism on steroids. It's how capitalism works. I heard the Morning Moron, who broadcast to a bunch of stations all around West Virginia earlier today, talking about polling data on capitalism and how people, you know, young people 18 to 23, 24, 25, have a dim view of capitalism. And because he's a Republican and can't see anything outside of his own biases, he posited that young people have a dim view of capitalism because they have never had to work for anything in their lives. And he then went on to say, the best time to be a socialist is when everybody's giving everything to you, and you're going to school, and maybe mommy and daddy are paying for college for you. And I'm thinking, you know, could it be that maybe there's another reason? Could it be because, and I'm just spitballing here, capitalism has utterly and absolutely, completely and totally failed that generation? Generation Z, as he was describing it. Could that be it? Could it be the fact that everybody isn't going to college and everybody isn't having college paid for by mommy and daddy? And that the only way to come out of college with your, and I'm not casting any aspersions, but I'm thinking about a job that's brutally difficult and pays for shit. Social work. You go to college for a degree in social work. And, you come out of it having worked hard. Probably you're going to go on and get a master's in social work, but so you can actually do something with your career. And I think it was established several years ago that social work degrees are among the hardest work and the lousiest pay. So, you know, there we are. And yet, that social work degree, they'll come out with you know, $50,000, $100,000, maybe more than $100,000 in student debt. That will mean that they will lead brutally difficult careers for some of the shittiest pay for a college degreed professional in this country. But yeah, sure, it's because the young people have had everything given to them and they don't really have to work for anything. God, these Republicans. It never ends. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, dear Jude. We are down to $5.85 to finish the month of June. And every it all counts. Thank you so much. And it would be great. I'd still love to have a day of fundraising free radio, but that may not be. I don't know. It depends on how. It depends on how Wednesday develops. Oh, yeah, and yes, Jeremy reminds me, don't forget Joey's $10 challenge. Thank you, indeed. That was met as well. So maybe we're at $5.75. Thank you, because ciphering is hard. Old 666 himself, Chris in Oregon, says, can we get a status update on Bonzo's better half? Reporting from the fucking sun, 115 yesterday and today in Portland.
What the fuck?
Hi, Ferg. Yeah.
Hi.
106 in Seattle.
It's okay. It's 82. Feels like wet here.
Yeah, I know. It's a wet heat.
It's a wet heat. That's
110 in Vancouver.
Doesn't matter if you have a dry heat that you don't sweat. It's a wet heat.
Yeah.
It's the only stuff that you can't breathe in.
Air you can wear.
Well, imagine wearing scrubs all day that are pitch black.
You chose the black.
It's because it doesn't show the bodily fluids that are on me today.
Go. Ferg started a new job. He's doing personal care work. The stuff of the angels. Randy and PA pointing out there's a fine line between labor and exploitation. And, well, capitalism will always err toward the exploitation part. Socialism, everybody giving everything to you, Stephen New York points out. Yeah, can you say nearly $2 trillion in student debt? Yeah. And a big hello to Ferg from Jude. I will, he has already exited the studio, but I will tell him you said so, Jude. Thank you. So, you know, God, I don't know how long will the protest continue. And imagine you got to go through that bunch, that barking, grunting, hooting, virus particle spewing bunch to get into the theater. At what point does that? No, really. At what point does my First Amendment rights become a violation of the rights of everyone else? Why do people have to subject themselves to possibly being infected by a bunch of COVID-idiot mask holes, maggots, just to go see a show because they're doing things the right way? And, of course, I wonder how many vaccinated people there were in that protest group. You know, who just don't want to say it out loud. Because, I mean, you know idiots like Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, Clanny Oakley, and, you know, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. They've had their shots. This is just messaging. This is a way to raise campaign dollars. Oh, and because it is Moran Monday, let's check in with Mark Levin, the man with a voice made for print. By the way, his old protege, Rush Limbaugh, is still dead and still getting the eternal reverse pineapple, in case you were wondering. And because nothing scares Emery and Marveline quite like saying Marxism, that, of course, is the current talking point about critical race theory. Critical race theory is not about learning the history of America. It's not about learning slavery and segregation. It's not about learning about neo-Nazis and the Klan, none of which Republicans want taught in schools, mind you. It's about a Marxist movement invented by the Marxists. You know, Groucho and Chico and Zeppo and Harpo. And Herbert and I added that part. Herbert Marcuse, Derrick Bell, and many, many others. And it attracts Marxists like Black Lives Matter founders. Two or three of them already said they were Marxists. And that's not a coincidence. All these forces and more, these are spawned from the notion of Marxism. This is not a passing fad. It's not liberalism. It's not, oh, there's the old Democrat Party. No, no, no. Oh, Democrat Party, you fucking idiot. It's a Democratic Party. This is here. This is now. And it's in your face. Tell me, where on the face of the oit has Marxism worked? Where on the face of the oit has Marxism not ended up in the slaughtering of tens of millions of people? The imprisonment of tens of millions of people? The silencing of hundreds of millions of people? Is that really what we want in the greatest nation on the face of the earth in the history of the universe under God forever? Amen. And Emery and Marveline sitting there in their matching Barca loungers in the Ballerina, Swan Lake, Trailer Court, and Country Club. That's right, Emery. It's the Marxism. I don't want to ever see you watching No Night at the Opera or Duck Soup never again. I've seen you do it, Emery. God, the stupid goes on forever with these people. And because it's Moran Monday. Oh, yeah, there we go. Jeremy in Vermont says, ask Mitch about that free socialized medicine that he received for free because his family was dirt poor and probably saved his miserable life.
Yes. Yes, but it wasn't the government doing it. That was people digging into their pockets and helping out a little polio boy.
And that's what something I was going to point out with Steve. And somehow I got derailed and didn't. But this country has forgotten what the horrifying disease looked like. There are no photos, you know, it's just old photos now, grainy black and white of children, row on row, adults, in iron lungs, trying to save their lives. Because if current America had to deal with polio, yeah, it would just run wild. It would just run wild. And you'd have idiots standing out on the street saying, you know, the polio vaccine killed my sister. No, that was polio, you idiot. Rush deciphering. Lee reminding us, L. Rushbo went to his long home in hell 130 days ago. Yeah, as to socialism, Randy in PA points out, I can think of a few kibbutzes in Israel that seem to work pretty well. Yeah, socialistic principles seem to do well in places like, you know, Scandinavia, Europe more broadly. But, again, they have to hide behind the Brugge, 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 because they don't, they live in mortal terror of what will happen if people in the United States ever do get some sort of unfettered access to health care. You know, we pay bills to keep the program on the air here every month. And since January or so, my greatest fear every month has been the health insurance bill that comes due. And I haven't, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be able to make that premium, but I live in fear that, you know, because I'm so close to things that I desperately need. And I live in abject terror that one first of the month is going to roll around and it won't be there. And that's not me pissing and moaning, that's people all over the United States of America. Millions of Americans. And it's not a workable system. And it doesn't work at all well. And leaves far too many people uninsured. Stand by a sec. Hey, stand by, y'all. Sorry about that. These things happen from time to time. And, well, this is one of those things that I have to go and deal with. Because, well, this is, you know, these 3 hours are kind of my haven. But sometimes there are intrusions upon it. So I have to go and deal with this. Couple of stories just to wrap up real quick. I saw an infuriating story in the news earlier today. Right Wing Watch has done... Oh, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, regarding Mark Levin and Marxism, it's weapons-grade irony when an old Jewish man named Mark talks about the pitfalls of Marxism. Not that I'm a big fan or nothing. Right. No, I saw an absolutely infuriating story earlier today. And this happens periodically, and it's just pure dunderheaded stupidity on the part of YouTube. They wiped out, they shut down and wiped out the YouTube channel for Right Wing Watch. And nobody does a better job in this country of keeping track of the right-wing wackadoodles and loons than Right Wing Watch does. Years and years and years ago, Norman Lear set up an outfit called People for the American Way to push back against the, you know, scumbags like Jerry Falwell, who, by the way, is getting the reverse pineapple in hell right next to Rush. And, you know, Oral Roberts. And, right. So, lo and behold, YouTube just wiped them out. Said, you know, three strikes and you're out. Though, you know, they didn't have any strikes. So YouTube just zapped them. You know, meanwhile, the same assholes that Right Wing Watch is calling out and pointing toward or alerting people to, they're still on YouTube. So People for the American Way appealed all of the filthy rulings that YouTube committed. But YouTube just said, fuck it, and wiped them. And they did so on the basis of extremism, as if Right Wing Watch was the outfit that was actually producing the extremism instead of reporting on it and warning the world about it. YouTube spokescreep, interviewed by the Daily Beast, said, Right Wing Watch's YouTube channel was mistakenly suspended, but upon further review, has now been reinstated. Because YouTube caught massive amounts of social media shit for what they did. People for the American Way said, we're glad that by reinstating our account, YouTube recognizes our position that there is a world of difference between reporting on offensive activities and committing them. Without the ability to accurately portray dangerous behavior, meaningful journalism and public education about that behavior would cease to exist. We hope this is the end of a years-long struggle with YouTube to understand the nature of our work. We also hope the platform will become more transparent about the process it uses to determine whether a user has violated its rules, which has always been opaque and has led to frustrating and inexplicable decisions and reversals such as the one we experience today. We remain dedicated to exposing threatening and harmful activities on the far right, and we are glad to have YouTube again available to us to continue our work. That's rather, it's downright charitable of People for the American Way. But, you know, the saying used to be, back in the days of print journalism, you don't start a war with a man who buys ink by the barrel. And you don't start a war with a website platform that buys bandwidth by the heptapegabit. Petabit. Mm-hmm. But at least they managed to get the job done for now. Because all these things are still run by fucking algorithms. And all these stupid preachers and right-wing pieces of shit that complain. All they have to do is complain, and the algorithm picks it up and usually runs with it. You know, at least on our side. And by the way, as to socialism, Stephen New York points out, socialistic principles work fucking awesomely in the military. Yeah, they do. So I'm going to knock off a few minutes early and deal with this. I apologize. Thank you to everyone who has helped meet Tom and Sonny San Rafael's Professor Tracy Challenge. Thank you, Tom, for making the challenge. And thanks for getting us down to $575 to go to finish the month of June. Thank you so much. Maybe we can do that tomorrow. I hope we can. Remember, I'm filling in for Malloy in about an hour and 12 minutes. The best place to catch the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to each and every one of you, our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal, and to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very much. You do so much to keep this on the air. It's a merry little band. That we try to grow a little at a time as much as we can. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House, ask them to sign on as co-sponsors of H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AKE Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Heck, call your senator and say, hey, why don't you be the hero who introduces the legislation to save Appalachia? It doesn't matter if you're in Oregon or Washington or California, New York or Vermont or Illinois. The very history of this country taking positive steps forward is when when members of Congress from other parts of the country have stepped up to address the problems in a location that isn't necessarily their own. That's how this country grows. That's how this country prospers. That's how we all experience what is sold as the American dream in a little bit more likely fashion. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe, as we've talked about on the program this evening at length. If you haven't gotten your vaccine, please get it. Do everything you can to get it. Do everything you can to encourage the people in your home and around you to get it. It's the only way this ever gets any better. Meantime, keep using your first-line defenses. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, wear gloves. If you're in a particularly scary crowd, wear your mask as you deem it necessary and proper. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, that AOC is a little communist, well, avoid that cue ball like the plague, because she is. Later.